Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who will be listening from around the world. In this session, we're going to be thinking in along the lines of maintaining the walls. And our scripture is found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 11 through 20. And this is one of my wife's favorite books in the Bible. She loves the book of Nehemiah. So, Nehemiah has been allowed to go to Jerusalem, and so we pick up here in verse 11 of chapter 2. He says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the Jackal Well and Dung Gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the Fountain Gate and the King's Pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. So that is Nehemiah 2:11 through 20. Maintaining the walls. This is an important thing. There are times in the lives of each of us when we must inspect both the physical house in which our spirit and the Holy Spirit resides, and the spiritual house as well. What do you mean, you say? Well, the body in which we temporarily reside in this sojourn called life is the temple of the Holy Spirit who was sent to us from God. The Holy Spirit now resides in believers in Jesus Christ, not in buildings made with hands, but in our bodies, the physical temples made by God's hands. Jesus spoke of his own body as a temple when he said it would be raised again in 3 days. He talked about this in John 2:21. The physical body is now the temple in which God's Holy Spirit dwells, giving the believer comfort, companionship, and capability. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. The Holy Spirit gives us comfort. He gives us also comfort in the fact that we have companionship. We're never really alone. And capability, that dunamis power that we read about in the book of Acts. Jesus told his disciples he would need to leave so the Comforter would come in John 16:7. There was a purpose for his saying this that was not understood at the time he said it. Many things the disciples didn't understand. As a matter of fact, many of us have more information than some of them in the first century church had, because we have scriptures to refer to that they did not have, because they hadn't even been written yet. They had not been put down. No one had been inspired yet to put down this story of Jesus. Even the Christmas story wasn't known, except by word of mouth. So even today, just as then, they didn't know, they didn't understand everything. And even today, it is not necessary to know immediately what God means when he speaks. It is only necessary that we respond with trust until we do understand. Complete understanding of an instruction given by God is not required for obedience. You see, we can be obedient to what God says for us to do, and we may have little understanding of it. I can look back just over the last few weeks at things that God has had me do and instructed me to do, and things that have come out of that that I could never have imagined going into it. The blessings that have happened in the lives of people. People learning about Christ and coming to Him in ways that I would never have imagined would have happened. But they have happened. There's great comfort in knowing the Holy Spirit is not only with the believer, but in the believer. Listen to that. He's not only with us, but He's in us. This then is the companionship aspect of the relationship between God and the believer, which Jesus told us about. The witness of the Holy Spirit permits obedience by faith, because we know He's there. We have faith, and we know the power that comes by Him being there. Capability comes as the Holy Spirit within the believer flows through the believer, invading and surrounding natural world. We literally invade the surrounding natural world as the Holy Spirit moves through us with the power of God to effect a change such as healing, faith, etc. The demonstration of capability in releasing the power of God at will to fulfill God's will was and is a great attention step to helping people come to the knowledge of God. Now think about this. How many of you have actually practiced using the power of God deliberately? Now think about this, because if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can deliberately use the power of God that's in you with design, with purpose. You see, this whole thing of getting people's attention was often employed by Jesus and the apostles. When the power of God via the Holy Spirit is shown, both the unbeliever and the new believer are often more receptive to hearing the Word of God and accepting the Word of God. Not to mention people who, I never cease to be amazed after 40-some years at seeing God move. It's fascinating to me. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. The soul must be tended to in us. This is a part of what we maintain. The soul must be tended to just as the physical walls must be tended to in order to maintain relationship, relevance, and reality in serving our Lord. It is the Word of God that divides or separates the soul from the spirit, permitting spiritual understanding. Read Hebrews 4:12. Well, let's take a look at it. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now think about this for a minute, because this is very important. The Word of God will overcome the natural knowledge, the worldly knowledge that you have, and separate that, because sometimes the traditions of men, the Scripture says, makes void the Word of God, makes void the power of God, makes void the understanding of God, you see. So you can, by using the Word, it will separate the spirit and the soul. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It will separate that out so that you can understand spiritual things. My friends, this is why the people who have never accepted Christ do not understand spiritual things. Why it seems like foolishness to them. Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God have never cut through to separate the worldly thinking mind that needs to be renewed according to the Scripture from the spirit, which gets direct contact with God, when the Word of God comes up, the Word is like a sword to separate that so that we can have spiritual understanding, spiritual discernment, see the spiritual things, and adhere to those spiritual things which are so important, and allow then our minds to be renewed. Daily time in prayer and Scripture is necessary to continue a fresh and dynamic relationship with God. What would any relationship be like if we did not relate on a regular basis? The fact is, we relate most closely to those who are closest to us by continual contact. Continual contact. Having continual contact with God through the Holy Spirit, working through us, there is nothing that I can think of that's greater than that. When you see actually through you, and you know it's not you, but the Holy Spirit works through you to change lives, to bring about salvation, to bring about healing, to bring about all these various wonderful things that the gifts of God can bring about, it's just a marvelous, marvelous thing to behold. And as I say, with over 40 years, some 46 years now, I've watched this happen and allowed it to happen through me, letting the Holy Spirit out. He's not a prisoner. Don't keep him bound up like he's in a cell. Let him move and work through you to touch the lives of people. Time and time again in the Gospels, we read of Jesus separating himself from the throng to spend both quality and quantity time with the Heavenly Father. Now notice I said both quality and quantity time. We need to be spending that time. And believers must do the same as he did. If this was necessary for Jesus when he was here, how much more necessary is it for us to do? To make the time, to have the time, to utilize that time, to have a quality relationship with our God. So, if your relationship has been damaged by attacks from unbelievers, demonic forces, or just simply neglect of God, you can do something now, just as in Nehemiah's time. Nehemiah said, "Let us rebuild our fortress and not be in disgrace, but in power." That's where we need to be. We need to be in power. And we are in power by maintaining our relationship, maintaining the walls, maintaining those things which protect us, which keep a hedge of protection about us, because we are walking with God Himself, with the Spirit of God inside us, with the Spirit of God surrounding us and over us and moving through us. Oh, my friends, this is so important. So if your relationship has been damaged by the attacks from other people and you've felt badly, or maybe demonic forces have come against you, or you've simply neglected this relationship with God, now is the time to turn that around right now. Just go to the throne with me right now. Say, "Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my neglect. I'm sorry I haven't maintained the fortress, just as Nehemiah was saying to the people here, we must rebuild the walls. I determine now to spend quality and quantity time with you. I determine now to listen to the Holy Spirit in me and to let the Holy Spirit work through me. I will allow you to use me for what you called me for in the first place. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, if you've never accepted Christ, you can pray a very similar prayer. Just say, "Heavenly Father, I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart right now. I will follow Him. He will be my Lord and my Savior. I claim Him as my Lord and my Savior now. In Jesus' name, I'm sorry for anything I've done to offend you. Amen." Now you're in the kingdom of the blessing. You're in the family of God. So now, if you want some help with that, if you have questions, if you want to talk to somebody, contact me. You can send me an email at thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Now, Sojourner is spelled S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R. So you can reach me by email at thesojourner@sojournershub.org, or You can call me in the United States toll-free at 800-391-6944. That's 800-391-6944. Or in addition, if you're on the computers, and if you're listening to this, you're on some computer, you can also reach me over Skype. And I am the Sojourner 3734 on Skype. So that's all you need. You can go to sojournershub.org and visit our site and hear many other messages and see how to learn about the things of the Lord and how to be into the Scriptures. We have many, many pages on that site that you can explore and learn from and enjoy. So now this is a Sojourner saying this blessing to you, and this will draw our broadcast to a close. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.